Hello, everybody. You are listening to Limited Playtime, the board game podcast where we bring you board game reviews in 30 minutes or less.
Or the next episode is free.
I am Kyle Bolin.
And I'm Jason Cavallari.
I thought about it. I can definitely say that with confidence.
Approved.
Yes. And today we are talking about one of the hottest games of 2017. A five-year-old game, but we just got around to playing it, or maybe you've played it before, Jason, but it was the first time I'd played it, I bet. In March, which is now 2 months ago, somehow.
Yikes.
I don't know how those 2 months just passed, but it's been over 2 months since I was out in Boston now, and this was one of those games that we played when I was there.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so Photosynthesis is designed by Hallmar Hawk. Hallmar, I think it's Hallmar Hawk. Art by Sabrina Miramon. It is published by Blue Orange Games. It has a player count of 2 to 4 players. It plays between 30 and 60 minutes, according to BoardGameGeek.com, and has a weight of 2.27 out of 5.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Jason, Photosynthesis is a solar-powered game from a certain point of view.
It is.
it doesn't actually have any, you know, like, electric circuits or anything. But
no, but it should.
Is a game. Yeah, it should. It is a game about collecting sunlight with your trees and doing a better job of collecting sunlight than the other trees. It's a tree competition.
I mean, kind of. I mean, it's the game is about getting points, but the way that you do that is by collecting sunlight. And
just like every competition trees. In the world is about points, right? I mean, like, you know, tree competition, points, football, points, basically the same thing.
Right. I would love to see oak trees like tackling each other. That'd be fun.
It's probably going to be. Yeah. I mean, I was talking about doing Blood Bowl at Gen Con, and we didn't sign up for it, but who knows? Maybe there's some sort of, you know, like Ent team now. Ooh. Who knows? Tough to know without going.
On the other hand, that could totally be a good new addition to what the heck is that brawling game that we play all the time?
Unmatched?
Yeah. Add like a Tolkien expansion and throw some Ents in there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it happening. I mean, they've already got like Marvel out there, and among other things, Jurassic Park, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They're going hard in the licensed stuff in addition to the unlicensed stuff. So. Who knows? Anything's possible. There seems to be a large representation of Tolkien in the board game space, so I'd believe it. But that is not what we're talking about today.
No, we're not.
We're talking about photosynthesis. We're talking about trees that just stay in one place other than growing, perhaps.
Yes.
But they don't walk around and wage wars. That's not what we're talking about today.
No.
So, Jason, Photosynthesis is a game that is largely abstract, but I feel like the way that the mechanics are baked into the abstractness kind of makes the theme work a little bit more than your typical abstract game.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, it's definitely like in principle an abstract game, but the theme that they've sort of pasted onto this actually, as you mentioned, does work really well with the mechanics of it.
Yeah,
So it's not a bad, you know, as far as you know, having an abstract game that's not like terribly abstract, I think it's pretty good. It conceptually helps a lot.
Yeah, so let's talk about how it actually works, right? Because you've got you as the player have a board that has a bunch of trees of, I believe, 3 different sizes, 4 if you count the acorn, right?
Right.
Which is, you know, the thing you need to put out on the board in order to grow a tree. And on that board, there are like basically costs in sunlight for each of those things.
Yeah.
So like if you want to put a seed out onto the board, it costs whatever, like 1 sunlight or something right?
Like
and then like there's an increasing cost for each size of tree. And what you have to do is you have to swap whatever's out on the board with the next highest up size of a tree and pay the cost in sunlight, right?
Yeah. So, well, there's 2 things. Like first you have to buy it from your supply.
The seed. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and then you have to pay to actually put it on the board.
Kind of 2 stages to that. Yeah. But Jason, how do you get sunlight in photosynthesis?
So the way you get sunlight is actually kind of, I think, one of the more interesting bits of this game is that.
And it's the thing that makes the theme work, basically.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So there's this big cardboard sun. I mean, it's not an entire sun. It's like an arc of sun.
Yeah. It's like the top. like third of the sun.
Yeah, and it rotates around the board, and then so when it moves, you sort of trace a line from where the sun is on the board, and trace it across the hexes on the board, and any trees that fall in its path collect sunlight with some restrictions. So, for example, if you have a smaller tree that's behind a taller tree, that smaller tree will not collect sunlight because the taller tree blocks it out. And so it's kind of a game of trying to place these trees in good enough positions where they won't be blocked by other trees, and can manage to get a sizable amount of sunlight whenever the thing rotates around, because the size of the tree also matters. So if you, I forget what the exact ratio is, but say you have like the tallest tree, you get like three sunlight.
I think it blocks like two. Yeah. Okay.
So you'll get three. You'd get three sunlight for that tree, and it also blocks the two spaces behind it.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of like a take that mechanic, or you know, like strategic sort of like placement element to this, where you're trying to maybe like block out the sunlight for your opponents, maybe like at key times around the game or something like that.
Yeah, but not only do you do it that one time, but like, you know, when the sun rotates, yes, like it's almost a completely different board.
Exactly. Yeah. If you do it, you know, like if you did it early enough, like it might impact somebody early game.
Yeah.
But then it might impact you poorly later in the game and benefit them, right? Like they may not be penalized by the placement of that tree later on in the game because all their trees were on the other side.
Right,
and now they're absorbing all the sun, you know, and maybe theirs are taller now. And so they're blocking those trees that you planted over there. So, there's like a little bit of a balancing thing to it. And in order to really benefit from placing that tree, in a way where it sort of like, you know, screws your opponent over, you would have to really time it really, really well. You know, like when you plant it, where you plant it, when you grow it, all of that, you know, like throughout the course of the game, which can be like sort of like, I think maybe like probably like one of the sort of like higher level strategies for this, because I think I was trying to do that, but it seemed like there was always that opportunity for the sun to move, and then like whatever trees you had planted still got, you know, sunlight, and
right.
And it seemed like the game was fairly well balanced throughout the entire game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least we were neck and neck for most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, the way that the trees kind of evolve and the way the sun rotates, there's a lot of stuff to keep track of. And, I mean, unless you're some kind of savant, I don't think you could maximize.
When you say a lot of stuff to keep track of, do you just mean like a lot of different positions on the board that you would need to take into consideration?
Well,
when
yeah, so there's
deciding
the,
where to place it.
There's the position on the board, there's the size of the tree, and then there's the shifting position of the sun. And those three things, the value of them change every time the sun rotates. You know, a medium-sized tree in one particular location where the sun is could net you nothing, because there's like a taller tree in front of it. But as soon as the sun rotates, it's going to be worth like two sun. But might also block maybe a smaller, a one-level tree that you placed next to it. And so that one tree won't get the sun this time around because it's now blocked by your two tree and so on. So there's three main components here that you're trying to kind of triangulate.
There's also, I'm looking at a picture on the internet right now, and I'm being reminded that there's like different numbers of leaves printed on the board in the circles
true.
That the trees go on. Now refresh my memory. Does that denote how much sun they absorb when the sun is shining on them?
No. So the leaves on the board, I think, denote. I think they denote like point values for those spaces. So like when the tree reaches maturity and then you take it off the board,
right? Okay,
you get a number of points according to the number of leaves that are on the space.
Yeah, So you have an option to leave trees there to absorb sunlight and grow your economy or run your economy, right? Or you will eventually want to like basically remove them from the board in order to score the points, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the spaces that are closer to the center of the board are worth more points.
Right, which means that they have a higher chance early on in the middle of the game to be blocked.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, is that placing new trees, you can't just place them wherever you want. You start the game by placing them on the outer edge of the board, and then whenever you plant a new seed, you can only plant it like within a range.
It's like a range, depending on how tall the tree is.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you now, but nobody can just sort of crowd the middle of the board with all their stuff. It's kind of like a slow growth towards the center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that works pretty well thematically.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about an abstract game here, but somehow the theme works really well.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is unique.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised by that, actually. I mean, I kind of resisted this game for a while because, I mean, the name of the game is friggin' Photosynthesis. Like, I'm not...
Oh, well.
it's like Wingspan, you know? Like, ah, oh, geez, like... Birds, please.
I feel like you and I have both come around pretty hard, though, on, like, the... Anything that's related to science now, like, piques my interest because we've had such a good time with so many of them now.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, when we played Cytosis last year
it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the name of the game is Cytosis. It's like, I could barely even remember what that was from high school biology.
Right.
So you're going to throw a game at me called Photosynthesis, and it's about, like, planting trees. I'm like, this sounds boring as hell, but it actually is quite a good abstract game.
It sounds boring, but, I mean, if you actually take a look at either the box art or the actual game, the box art's really pretty.
It is.
The box art's very colorful, and like, you know, like, it's got this great, like, light of, like, sun shining down on a pretty tree, like, in a clearing in a forest and everything, a little tree, you know, like, surrounded by really, really huge trees. The game itself has a really phenomenal table presence where it's like, you know, a very different, there's like four different colors of trees and shapes of trees, and they're all really pretty.
Levels of trees.
Yeah. And they're, you know, like they're like as 3D, like the minimum amount of 3D that you can get out of board game components, where you take two pieces of cardboard and like one slots into the other, and then, you know, like you've got an X shaped tree or whatever out on the board, but still. Right.
And they're themed after the seasons too. So there's like a winter one,
that's true.
An autumn one and whatever.
Right, right. But I think that all of the art and the 3D components of the board, and, you know, like the big sun that, like, you know, kind of rotates around and clicks into the corners of the board, all of that looks really appealing. It's a very attractive game on the table. It's a very attractive box, too.
Yeah.
And so this is a game that did catch my attention back when it came out in 2017, and has continued to, like, you know, my eye, it's an eye-catching box, and I noticed that, I've noticed that plenty of times since then, too, when I'm in a board game store. So I think that despite the fact that it's called Photosynthesis, I think that the game has a very sort of warm, inviting sort of nature to it, just visually, that made me want to try it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, like, you know, like, dying to, and obviously it's taken us 5 years for me to get around to playing it. But now that I've played it, I think I can safely say it's a very pleasant game.
It is a very pleasant game.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't feel like a science lesson, other than the fact that, you know, you're you know, a very basic level of photosynthesis. You're turning sunlight into, you know,
into new trees.
I guess, yeah, like, good stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of steps in between there that we're missing. Sure.
Sure. Right. Yeah. But, you know, like, just the sort of, like, abstract nature of all of it. Like, it's that's it, right? I mean, like, we're probably learning less about photosynthesis in this game than we learned about all sorts of, you know, like, cell processes when we were playing Cytosis, right?
Yeah.
Or being reminded of them. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but like, yeah, this is a very, very pleasant, very cool sort of, like, positional puzzle sort of game with, like, a little bit of, like, light sort of, you know, like, engine building or economy or whatever, resource management. Like, it's very light with all of that, but it works really well. And I think that it's a very pleasant, fun game to play.
I think pleasant is, like, the perfect word to describe this game. Like, it's not exciting.
It doesn't feel super... I mean, like, you could maybe feel a little cutthroat nature about the fact that you can cut your friend off
bit,
or your opponents off, but it doesn't feel super cutthroat in that way that games do.
Well, usually because as soon as the sun rotates, it's a different game. So it's a competitive game, but as you said, it's not a kind of cutthroat thing where you're trying to screw your neighbor. You know, it's as you said, sort of very visually appealing to look at. It's really kind of satisfying whenever you, like, grow a tree to maturity and you know, and reap it for points. And it's sort of a, I don't know, it's just very, it's very nice for me, calming. It's a very calming game.
Yeah, it felt very appropriate for us to be playing this, like, late morning, you know, like, and with, like, you know, a couple of, like, you know, warm drinks in our hands, and you know, like to just kind of like get the gears greased or something for the day. Like it didn't take a super long time. I think 30 to 60 minutes is probably fair if you know how to play the game and everything. You're not playing with a high player count. It isn't terribly complicated in terms of the rules. You could probably teach this to a 7-year-old without any trouble. So, you know, like, I think that it's a fairly pleasant game. It's not the deepest game in the world. It's not the, you know, the most thinky game. It's not the most crunchy game or anything like that. So if you're looking for that, this probably isn't going to satisfy. But if you're just looking for something pleasant that you could play with, like, one or two other people, it does play up to four. But I think that, you know, probably two or three is probably best for this game.
Yeah.
Two felt fine, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, I mean, I think I've played it with three people maximum. I'm thinking, based on that experience, like, the more players you get into it, the more it's not exactly cutthroat, but the more cutthroat it becomes,
more complicated,
like space becomes much more of a premium, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's a lot more like stuff going on.
The board would probably fill up faster too.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, if that sounds like something that would appeal to you, like a nice sort of like more relaxed competitive game, you know, like a very pleasant, visually appealing, a warm game, I think, that is how I feel about Photosynthesis. That's this game.
For sure. Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. Like, again, this is not a game that excited me just from the, you know, from the sort of quick glance that I got, other than, hey, that looks pretty. But the more I've played it, the more I just kind of, you know, enjoy it as something to do for half an hour to an hour.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And it's not going to break the bank. It's suggested retail price is $40. On Board Game Geek, it's showing $30 on Amazon. So it looks like if you get this from a discounter, you can probably get it pretty cheap.
Yeah.
It's been around for a while, so you might even be able to find it discounted at a local store somewhere.
Yeah.
If you get lucky, maybe like a Barnes & Noble or something.
There are some, not a great many, but there are some sort of player piece issues, particularly with one of the trees, which I think was the one that you were playing. They're the ones that are sort of like conical. There's a tendency, the way that they're constructed, when you pick them up, that the two cardboard pieces that make the tree like slide apart.
Oh yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
So
that was happening to me quite a bit.
Yeah, so you kind of have to like keep putting them back together. You know, and they are, I mean, all the trees are made out of cardboard, so they're not the sturdiest things in the world. I mean, they work for what you need them for. I mean, it's not like this is a high endurance game, but, you know, it's just sometimes it can be a little finicky in terms of putting the stuff together and making sure it stays together for the duration of the game.
Right, yeah. Anytime you do these cardboard components that slide together and come apart again to pack back up, like, it seems like they all have a limited shelf life.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know.
This also seems like a game that's screaming for, like, deluxe edition to me.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like this is perfect for what it is, you know? Like, it doesn't need
it. Yeah, for
sure. Like, I don't know that... I guess if you, like, wanted some, like, nice painted plastic trees or something to put out, sure, you know, like the components that came with like Joan of Arc or something like that.
I'm thinking like blown glass.
Oh wow, okay.
Like if we're gonna go deluxe, let's do deluxe.
You know, it's a relatively simple abstract game, and it already looks really pretty on the table, and I feel like that's great, right? You've got it at a nice, like, comfortable price point for people that aren't super, super serious and looking for something like Eclipse or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this feels like a game that would be, you know, fun for people that aren't into the heaviest games, people that are, you know, this is maybe a gateway game, or this is maybe, like, you know, like a game that could appeal to the broad spectrum of people that are interested in board gaming in general, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like with that in mind, it doesn't need a big expensive version.
No, I mean, like, many games don't need a big expensive version, but
yeah,
that's something I would like to see personally.
Okay. I'm also looking at the picture here of the trees, and I think that one of the things that I did notice when I was there was that they have tried to differentiate the shapes of the trees,
yeah,
which helps with color blindness, but two of them are very similar shapes. It looks like orange and green are both very similarly shaped.
Are those the roundish ones?
They're the ones that are kind of shaped like Morel mushrooms.
Oh yeah, okay.
But the orange is a very, very like sort of like neon orange, so it's not too difficult for me to differentiate from the green or the other green that appears to probably be a yellowish green. I don't know. But that one is very differently. That's like more of like the cotton candy looking trees, so that's easy to determine. what it is just based on shape. So colorblind check-in, this one is good enough.
Colorblind check-in.
Yep. So cool. There you go. All right. So photosynthesis, it's a good game.
Yeah. Good game.
Yeah. Approved. And it won't break the bank like so many of the other games that we tend to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, if people would like to get a hold of us and let us know what the best tree is for absorbing sunlight, how would they do so, Jason?
All right. Send your weeping willows to podcast@limitedplaytime.com. You can go to the website, limitedplaytime.com. You can Instagram us at limitedplaytime or go to... Nope, that Instagram is at limitedplaytimepodcast or go to Twitter at limitedplaytime.
I was thinking about this last week. I was going to ask you. We've got the Instagram up there, but how often are we posting on the Instagram?
And not often.
I haven't even done anything on my own personal Instagram in probably a year, I don't think. It's been a long time.
I really haven't. I usually only post things on my Instagram when I'm, like, traveling.
Yeah. We could probably do more. We should probably do more.
We'll do more. I will aim for, like, let's say a post a week.
Yeah. I want to start posting more too. I post under my own personal Instagram. I think it's KJ Bolin. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I should probably double check that. But I will double check that and report back in at the next episode. But I post a lot of board game stuff on there when I am posting, but it's been a while. So there it is. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you in about 2 weeks.
All right. Later.
All right. Bye.